aus.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your business. Inside your business on Kaya Biz is powered by Capitec Business Banking. Banking. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone.
This one is a big conversation. So to any professionals within the construction and engineering space, we do want to hear from you at some point. But to help give us clarity is Bongani Dladla, CEO of the Construction Industry Development Board. This is an important institution which essentially maintains the integrity and performance of infrastructure and construction players in South Africa, essentially making sure that for any organization that receives a tender or is eligible to do any work within the public service is accountable and does do so. To tell us more about the stance that they're taking, we welcome Bab Dladla to the show. Bongani, welcome to the show and thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, thank you very much for having us and thank you to all your listeners.
I'm excited for this conversation because I think there's so much for us to learn as South African citizens regarding the safety, the integrity, and of course the tough stance that you're taking as a regulator on contractors who might have been deceitful. But first things first, maybe let's start off just by getting a better understanding of some of the construction failures we've witnessed in South Africa. I do understand earlier this year it was highlighted that South Africa's construction industry is actually regarded as rather high risk given the large number of damage or dilapidated and even failures in infrastructure that we've seen, whether it's in Tongaat, shopping mall in Belito, Jagersfontein, we all remember the dam there, and even the building in George where it collapsed, unfortunately claiming the lives of more than 34 people. But let's add some context to the heightened focus on safety in the construction industry in South Africa.
Yeah, safety in the construction industry is actually paramount during the construction phase and also the operation phase, because the infrastructure that we build is quite massive and has a potential. It's deemed high risk in the sense that it has a potential of causing many fatalities at the same time if an accident were to happen, plus also the other unintended issues that relates to projects failing or when projects collapse, like the impacts on the economy, on employment. So we have to really focus on ensuring that the contractors that we have are appropriately skilled to build the type of infrastructure that we build. But without leaving also the clients and the consultants that are involved in infrastructure development, to ensuring that everyone, we are establishing an ecosystem that keeps each other accountable to the work that we are supposed to do, because it is so important for our economic recovery.
Mm-hmm. It's no secret that South Africa does have a dynamic pool of talent when it comes to professional builders, but more so civil engineers. But it does seem as though some companies have been falsifying and misrepresenting the level of work that they're actually capable of conducting. Help us understand how this has led to several deregistrations that your organization has instituted.
So what happens, people not wanting to climb the CIDB grading system from grade one and grow gradually and organically, they see opportunities that are meant for large companies, companies that have the track record and the financial muscle to undertake those projects. And they think that, okay, let's take a shortcut. Let's falsify our track record, saying we've done projects that we've not done before. Obviously, someone who takes that stance is already a danger to this project, because construction is actually quite complex. It's not just a business, but it's a business that requires skills. You are putting together resources, you are putting human resources, monies, and other type of resources to build something that has the potential. You look at some of the infrastructure that we've built today. Mm. You can't wake up today and decide, I'll build a Moses Mabhida or an FNB stadium with fraudulent track record. So we've seen an increase in that. And as a CIDP, we had to reflect to saying, looking at the number of projects that are failing, are we not contributing to that by giving the industry contractors that are not competent? Because the main core function of the CIDP is to do that macro risk mitigation on behalf of infrastructure clients, that other contractors are competent, but also to develop the industry. So that's why we've taken those stance to saying those that have gotten their grade through fraudulent means, we have to deregister those, but also look at those clients that are not capable of implementing infrastructure projects, be it they don't pay on time or be it they don't make the right decisions at the right time for infrastructure to proceed. We also have to deal with those.
Mm. I'm keen to understand, as you said, the grading system is not a challenge because that's there, focused on turnover, available capital, as well as history in terms of operations.
Yes.
For the businesses that you've deregistered, help us contextualize and understand understand what kind of research or investigations you had to ensure to identify that they were not compliant, but also how they managed to cheat the system in the first place.
You see, we rely on, for instance, for track record, we would rely on your past record, that your appointment letters and completion certificates and bank statements that show that the money went into the account when you completed those projects. So people were fraudulently creating those documents. And sure, because of such a low compliance level from infrastructure clients on telling us on which contractor they've appointed for what project and how has that contractor performed, then we only are relying on that record of that contractor. So when we start seeing someone is not performing, be it through the media or our hotline or during the registration process when we do our spot audits, and then we see, no man, this, there's something fraudulent there, then we engage at a specialized unit that we've created within the CIDP that looks at enforcement, where we're forensic investigators and also lawyers to take through the process those cases. And to be fair to those contractors, we've also followed the PAJA processes, so writing to them to say, come and explain to us what is this suspicious transaction. And if they can't answer that, then we deregister, we remove them. Mm-hmm. So when we see also a big project, for instance, failing, be it it's reported in the media, we have to go and look back as to what is happening in that project. Mm. Was the procurement process done appropriately? Is this contractor really legit? Because we really have to set a culture that we have to hold each other accountable in this industry, because the work that we do is so important for service delivery and economic development.
100%. It's a critical role that you play. Without investment in construction and infrastructure, there can't be any economy, because the water won't flow through the taps. The trucks can't drive on any highways that don't exist. We can't operate in buildings and structures that aren't even built. So I fully agree with you. Babu Gaga, I'm keen to understand, there's a significant number of contractors who've been removed. I understand 40% who are registered in Gauteng, 28% in KwaZulu-Natal, 17% in Limpopo, 8% and 3% in Eastern Cape and the Free State. These are big numbers, specifically in economic nodes that have seen a heightened level of investment, as well as government spending in the construction industry. What happens now to those who have been deregistered? Is there a way and manner to rehabilitate them? But also, what happens now to those who stay on your, I guess, platform, but might not have the full capacity to continue with the current levels of work that are available? I guess, you know, what do we do now with a smaller pool of compliant construction companies in the body?
We are ensuring, because we are a developmental regulator, which is something unique for the industry, we are ensuring that the pipeline of competent and experienced contractors are supported through the build program, through taking them through trainings, trying to find opportunities for those that are starting up, through National Contractor Development Program, so that we always have a sustainable pipeline of legit and genuine construction companies. But those that have been found guilty of defrauding the system, we have removed them, and the only recourse they have really would be to go to a court, because everyone has a right to challenge any action taken by another party. Mm-hmm. But our cases are really solid strong, because we don't rush also to these decisions. We also involve the services of forensic investigators, and when cases are complex, we also involve other agencies, including SAPS and other forensic investigators outside the CIDP, to ensure that we are removing those that are causing a problem to this industry and are not removing those that are actually contributing meaningfully. Because a lot of these companies also employ a lot of people. Yeah. And in our country, where unemployment is so high, we cannot contribute towards also adversely affecting those initiatives of government of ensuring that the service delivery people are employed and there's economic development. But what we found with the majority of these contractors that we've removed, they've been causing havoc in the industry, and the industry is better off without them.
Oh, 100%, especially where our safety is concerned, and there are avenues to rehabilitate them, as you say. Babu Gaga, I'm aware you've been really in the construction industry for all your life, locally in the UK, having some lessons you've learned from the US, and of course serving in your capacity at the CIDB for quite some time now. And we've obviously seen significant changes that you're trying to implement within the organization. I guess my question is twofold. Is there sufficient support? And as we reflect on where we are regarding the construction industry in South Africa right now, are the necessary reforms and interventions taking place in a multi-pronged solution outside of what your organization is doing?
Oh, yes. Support is there, both political support and generally from contractors, because there's another phenomenon that we didn't discuss. You know, those contractors that are defrauding the system, some actually do not understand the business, and they're undercutting genuine contractors where someone is appointed at a fraction of what the cost of the project. And obviously, that project would not succeed.
Yes.
And we end up wasting more money. But the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure portfolio committees have thrown their full support behind the CIDP in ensuring that we bring back integrity into the register of contractors and also the construction industry, because it's really harming many South Africans when these things are not done appropriately.
100%. To close off with, as South African citizens, what can we do to make sure we play our part, or, you know, we call out any companies or organizations that we believe might be flouting the rules, or even just, you know, have our own suspicions about inadequate processes that might have been followed when it comes to the appointment of a construction firm to a tender to actually participate in construction?
It's quite important that we report these activities through the CIDP hotline or National Treasury so that we can investigate. And it actually works better when we prevent a disaster from happening than coming later to launch probes to find out who was at fault. So if, for instance, there's a suspicious activity, one company today is grade one, tomorrow it's grade nine, the likelihood of that happening is very, very low, unless they've done significant work in the private sector. But we need to be reporting those cases to the CIDP, National Treasury, so that we can investigate. And also we need to support our construction companies as they do their work, you know, minimize site disruptions as that happens on construction sites. As communities, we need to also ensure that we protect our construction sites from bad elements, because once we delay the completion of construction projects, it really hampers the three issues that we are trying to solve as a country of unemployment, economic development, and this service delivery.
100%. Oh, Babu Khala, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. There's so much you've taught us and educated us on. Siyabonga kakhulu, Babu Khala. That is Bongani Khala, CEO of the Construction Industry Development Board. Right? Fascinating conversation. But next time you actually see the construction of a bridge, of a building, of a highway, of a shopping mall, all of these key infrastructure projects that are important and imperative to our livelihoods, our safety, the driving of the economy, it really does need an organization that has the necessary expertise to build it. And engineering, like many other sectors, is one where safety is a high priority. And fundamentally, how these businesses grow, how they work, and how they operate is that there's a grading system. Slowly, slowly, you earn your stripes through the experience and the work that you cover, and of course, the income that you're able to generate, how you manage your financial resources, all plays a role. It's like hiring Upujo, who can put together a brick wall. He's not the same guy you're going to call when you want to build a shopping mall. That's essentially how engineering and the building environment essentially works. The CIDB has different grading structures that actually monitors all of these aspects, including the professional qualifications of the individuals behind the construction companies that are appointed. When it comes to government work in particular, you need to be at a certain grade. And as Bob Gag has highlighted, the key theme here is that some companies have lied, misrepresented the kind of work that they've done. All you've done is built a wall, perimeter wall for your home, but now you're looking to apply and build a shopping mall. That's a different kind of job, but there has been deceit, lies, and of course, misrepresentation. Several businesses have been removed from the database. More than 40% of contractors are removed from the Gauteng database in particular. And what this is trying to do is to make sure that more participants who are adequately qualified in the construction space can actually do the job. So if you've never built a bridge before, if you've never built a mall before, then rather we're going to ensure that we keep to the professionals who have that level of expertise. So some progress being made, and hopefully one that will reap the necessary rewards that we require in South Africa going forward. Share your thoughts if you happen to be a civil engineer, someone in the built construction environment, and even the earlier conversations that we had this on the show tonight, specifically looking at the shipping industry. My goodness. Claps once. That is a conversation that I think is one that will definitely need to be interrogated even further. Essentially, how the Competition Commission has, through its cartels division, now opted to fine and has highlighted that several shipping companies, at least eight of them, that operate outside of Durban in South Africa, the Durban port, they've been colluding and participating in price fixing. These are allegations that the Competition Commission is taking to the Competition Tribunal. These companies will be allowed to share their feedback. But essentially what we heard from Makhale Mokhlala, who's a divisional manager for cartels at the Competition Commission, is that there's more than eight shipping companies operating out of Durban, operating 18 routes to different parts of the east of the globe. And essentially between 2008 and 2018, they have all been colluding on the pricing for their routes, implementing increases at a similar level or exactly the same level, minimizing the opportunity for us as customers to essentially negotiate on shipping fees. Why does this matter? For you and I, whether you have bought a t-shirt online and it's come on a ship, whether you are actually buying plant machinery for a construction site, whatever it is, if it's coming in or going out, you and I have essentially been overpaying for those particular services because of the collusive activity alleged by the Competition Commission by these shipping and freight businesses. This is significant. We will continue to reach out to these businesses to get their feedback, as we do understand they're still going to follow with the legal process to actually respond to the Competition Tribunal first, perhaps before giving us some insight. But this is a huge story. Probably bigger than what we remember when it came to bread, fixed price fixing, and even what we saw with the collusive activity regarding the multiple 2010 soccer stadia in South Africa. I share your thoughts. There's a lot happening in the business world, and it's leaving me going, Aibo. Kunin is it Aibo? 063-688-0959. I'm keen to hear your thoughts. Tumza, Mubulawa, Temba. This is a conversation you all need to participate in. It's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz. When we come back, we'll take a look at a bank that has proven to face a few challenges, specifically in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, Itala. We'll give you an update on what happens now to the depositors' funds that the bank has been holding.
That's the sound of your business growing. Whether you're starting out or scaling up, turn your passion into profit with Capitec Business Banking. Save up to 50% on fees. Get fast credit approvals, personalized support, and Forex for your business. Open your business banking account on our app. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone. Capitec is an authorized FSP, 46669. T's and C's apply.